You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained. And we talk to you each and every week, talk to you and talk with you about the Montreal Canadiens. And we've got a great show lined up for you today on episode 349 of the Canadiens Connection podcast with the big title, Habs Mailbag. Grit, goaltending, and big off-season moves. That sounds like a very exciting show. Lots to get into. And I can't do it without my co-host, who's here in the studio with me. First, let me tell you, my name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host for today's show. And my co-host here in the studio, who is the founder and president of Rocket Sports, his name is Rick Stevens. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Victoria Day last week.
I was going to say, you had your long weekend last week.
Yeah, start of summer.
I get my long, well.
Yeah, it didn't really turn out that way, but go ahead.
Yeah, and I get my long weekend this weekend.
Nice.
And it doesn't feel like the start of summer. It's cold.
Mm.
But that's all right.
Lots going on in the sporting world, hockey world, actually. Stanley Cup playoffs, Memorial Cup started on Friday, World Championships.
Calder Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
Kelly Cup playoffs.
We got lots to talk about.
All the playoffs. We got a lot to talk about. And apparently all of you had a lot to talk about as well. We're going to talk.
Lots of opinions.
Lots of opinions. We always like to say it's an interactive show. We give you an opportunity every week to kind of voice your opinions about a specific Montreal Canadiens topic by asking a listener and fan question of the week that we choose the best answers and read them on the following week's show. But once in a while, we say, okay, we've gotten a bunch of questions from listeners and viewers over the past weeks or a couple of months. And so when we accumulate enough of them, we say, okay, it's time to open the mailbag and answer some of these questions for everyone's benefit here on the show. That's what we're going to do today. But before we get to that, in the first segment, we're going to get you caught up on all of the latest news surrounding the Montreal Canadiens and their prospects. We're going to take a look at how the Habs prospects are continuing to perform at the IIHF World Championships. We're also going to touch base with some prospect updates, talk a little bit about, as Rick mentioned, the Memorial Cup tournament got started. We're going to talk a little bit about that, as well as check in on how Laval and Trois-Rivières are performing in their respective playoff runs. We're also going to hear a little bit of audio and hear some clips from Emil Heinemann and Owen Beck. Then we're going to talk a little bit about some of the big news that's been happening around the NHL, all over the hockey community, not just with the Montreal Canadiens. All of that leads us up to then our second segment, which is our big topic segment where we are hitting the Canadiens mailbag this week. We're going to talk about a number of things, but just to kind of whet your appetite, we're talking about Kirby Dach. We're talking about Patrick Laine. You also had some questions about grit on the team and goaltending. That's just a smattering of the things we're going to talk about. an answer from questions we received from you fine folks listening and watching at home. So it's going to be a really fun second segment. We still do have a Canadians Connection question of the week for you, which we'll reveal to you later in the show. And we've got some great answers from last week's question of the week as well. So we're looking forward to getting into all of that with you. Don't forget, anytime you want to reach out with comments or feedback or an answer to the question of the week, or if you have a question you'd like to ask and like to toss it into the mailbag for a future mailbag episode, send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line at 5853-ROCKET. That's 5853-ROCKET. Leave us a comment on our YouTube channel on any of the Canadians Connection podcast videos. You could also drop us a reply or a DM on social media at Habs Connection. And we look forward to hearing from you. So let's first start with some hockey action happening over in Sweden right now for the IIHF World Championships. There were three Canadians players who were representing their countries over there right now. Let's kick things off with Team Canada. Mike Matheson still on defense for Team Canada, but unfortunately, Team Canada's appearance at the World Championships once they got past the preliminary rounds didn't last very long.
How does this happen? How does this happen? Quarterfinal. Denmark beat Canada 2-1. Canada up, they were up 1-0 with just over 2 minutes left and two quick goals for Denmark. One of those coming from Nikolaj Ehlers. There is a Canadians connection because in goal for Denmark was Frederik Dekau. Do you remember that name?
Yeah.
I do, and I remember seeing him at Canadians development camp. He was a fifth round pick by the Montreal Canadiens in 2019. He's still only 24 years old. A big goaltender, 6'5", and he shut the door and ousted Canada from the tournament. Mike Matheson playing for Canada. Canada ends up fifth in the tournament. Mike Matheson had 2 points in eight games and ended up being plus three with just over 18 minutes of ice time. The big minutes went to Travis Sanheim, Brandon Montour. And so a good experience, I think, for Mike Matheson. And even if it's nothing, Mike Matheson going into the last year of his contract with the Montreal Canadiens, and maybe it was an opportunity for other general managers to see how he might fit on their roster.
That's right. The next prospect, who actually I think caused more of a stir than people expected to, was one Vincenz Rohrer, the right winger representing Team Austria.
Yeah, he was great for Austria. Austria finishes eighth in the tournament. In eight games, he had 6 points, 4 goals and 2 assists, plus two, almost 16 minutes of ice time. And he'll be, I think, staying put next year. Some folks, I know that was one of the questions to the mailbag, was is there an opportunity to see Rohrer in Laval next year? Because he has one more year remaining on his contract. In Europe, he would either have to make the Canadiens, I don't think that's going to happen, or be returned. So expect him to put in one more year, and that's fine. Canadiens haven't yet signed him to an entry-level contract and don't have to for another year.
The prospect who advanced the furthest in the tournament was Sweden's own Emil Heineman, left winger, who actually just was eliminated from gold medal contention by Team USA.
Expecting a little bit more in that game, but the Americans, they kind of cruised to victory after beating Sweden 6-2. They're going to face the game between Denmark and Switzerland. It hasn't yet happened as we're recording. So the Americans will meet one of those teams for the gold medal, and this is their first entry into the gold medal contest since 1934. So good for the Americans. For Emil Heinemann, he had a pretty good tournament in eight games. He had a goal and an assist, plus two, and about 10 minutes of ice time. He played nine games, including that medal round game, but in the pre-medal round had eight games. And a good tournament for Emil, and it was I would say a great season, a great first half of the season for him with the Montreal Canadiens, and he had that freak injury, and it took him time to adjust when he came back.
It did, but you know, we were still towards the end of the season. You could see him getting comfortable again, starting to settle in again, kind of getting his footing underneath of him again. Patrick Friolet actually was over in Sweden covering the tournament and sat down for a one-on-one interview with Emil Heinemann this week. It was a great conversation between the two of them. Heinemann is actually a very good interview. He's a thoughtful young man. And one of the things he talked about with Friolet was his growth this season.
First of all, when I said left for Montreal this year, I was it made it way easier to know that I already had a year in Montreal, and Laval was helped a lot, like knowing what I'm going to, knowing all the people, and made it way easier that way. But obviously, throughout the year, dealing with a lot of games, this is a new way of playing, and like it's like pressure and high, like you have to fight for a spot pretty much every day. So that made me, like, I took a lot of steps as a person too with that way, and as a hockey player, to know that you have to fight for your spot pretty much every day, and it is it was a different type of learning how to learn how to play in the league, that made me grow, especially.
Experienced a lot of growth, even despite that interruption in his season because of injury. A whole adjustment for him. He said there's good preparation because he had spent the previous year in Laval, but it was still understanding that he must. It's a results league. You have to perform every single game, and even the whole adjustment as far as coming to a major city in Canada. He's from a small town in Sweden, and just the whole adjustment for him. And I think that was very successful, a successful transition for him.
I think so too. And I think he even talked about, you know, playing so many games, and there's so many things that I think sometimes we forget. It's not just a couple of things that new players to the league, particularly who haven't spent their whole life playing hockey in North America, have to adjust to, and add, as you say, add coming to a place like Montreal on top of it. There's just a lot to take in and a lot to adjust. And so I think his play on the ice this season, particularly in the first half of the season, it was quite evident that he was much more comfortable coming this year because he knew what to expect and was able to adjust much more quickly. But finding your way through all of those things and then especially finding your way back to feeling comfortable in your game after an injury like he had really requires, you know, your own self-confidence and your own inner strength and so forth. But you need a support system around you. You need mentors to help you through it. And he talked a bit in this interview about who he really relied on this season.
I mean, big parts it would actually be my line mates, Jake and Army, that helped me, especially with certain situations out there that you have to deal with to be reliable out there, and just helped me get into the league pretty much. Army, especially early on, was a few games in, like along the blue lines, that he said, like, this is a big part of the game over here, that if you want to stay in the league, you have to be good along the blue lines. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much all year they've been helping me, mentoring me. So they've been a big part for sure.
One of the things he talks about being reliable, and we know that fourth line with Jake Evans and Yoel Armia and Emil Heineman earned the trust of Marty St. Louis, and certainly for the first half of the season. How many games did that line start a game? Because they were the line that was going to go out there. Forecheck, it was going to generate energy. Emil Heineman was one of the most physical players on the team, right up there in hits. That line was reliable and working with the mentorship. And you know, we've all heard a lot about the mentorship that David Savard provided to the young defenseman. And you know, he got that recognition, deservedly so. But there are other players on the team who maybe performed the role of a mentor much more quietly and haven't gotten the recognition, those being the ones mentioned here, Yoel Armia and Jake Evans. And yeah, that line worked together terrifically.
They really did. Just as a really kind of endearing anecdote, at the end of the interview with Patrick Friolet, Patrick had Heineman basically kind of not testing his French, but okay, let's see how your French has been coming along. Not testing him on, you know, kind of putting him on the spot, but giving him some sentences to read in French, to practice his French a little bit. The thing that was really nice about it is that Patrick also then turned around and did the same thing in Swedish. So he was putting himself to the test just as much as Emil Heineman. But Heineman did a very impressive job with his French. In fact, this was how he kicked it off.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Emile. Je suis joueur de hockey.
It's very good.
It was great. I thought as they went along, Heineman's pronunciation was very good.
It was.
And credit to Patrick Friolet. Patrick's a good guy. He's a good reporter. Mm-hmm. We've interacted with him many times, and him taking on Swedish, trying to handle the Swedish was, and it's something, you know, many of the reporters have criticized, you know, a player. Andrei Markov got it all the time, or the Kostitsyns, or about their ability to speak in English or French. And I always thought, well, why don't the reporters try to say a few words in their language?
Right.
And Patrick Friolet did that, and full credit to him.
He did an admirable job.
Yeah. Well, he did.
He did.
And admitted that it wasn't easy.
It's a hard language.
Yeah. And Emil offered some polite corrections
on
some of the words. A really good interview.
Definitely. And great to hear that Heineman really took some positive things from this season as well. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he turns that into for next year. So let's continue with talking about some of the youth on the Canadiens roster and in the organization by checking in on the Habs Prospect Report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
First, we are going to start with some Canadiens prospect news about Montreal Canadiens prospect Philip Erickson. He has signed now with the reigning SHL, that's the Swedish Hockey League, reigning SHL champion Luleå just this past Friday. He is, in case you're thinking that name sounds familiar, but I don't quite recall. He's a 20-year-old center who has played the last three seasons with the Vekwa Lakers. So now after 3 years with the Lakers, he's now going to head over to the defending SHL champion team, Luleå. Looks like he's made a great impression while he was playing for Vekwa. And I think that Luleå will be excited to get him.
Sixth round pick, 165th overall. In 2023, he plays in the center center position mostly, sometimes on the wing. Just 20 years old. Busy season for him, as you said, in Vekwa with the SHL. But then at the end of that season, they didn't qualify for the playoffs. So he went and played in the Allsvenskan League for Djurgården, and they won the championship in that second division. But changing teams, as you said, and it was Luleå general manager Thomas Froberg that said, Philippe is a very talented player with a bright future ahead of him. He really has everything it takes to become a top player, but he's still young and may need time. We see great potential in him and believe Philippe can further develop in our environment where he can combine hard work with a clear plan for his development.
I think that sounds great.
Yeah.
I think that sounds great. So good luck for him. Looking forward to seeing how he continues to progress. The CHL Memorial Cup is underway. It is being hosted this year in Quebec by the Rimouski Oceanic. And Rick, who is obviously Rimouski is participating as the host, but who else has earned their spot there at the Memorial Cup this year?
The representatives for each of the various leagues, the WHL, it's the Medicine Hat Tigers, London Knights in the OHL. They've been to the Memorial Cup a lot, the most of any team. And in the queue, it's the Moncton Wildcats, of course. The host, Rimouski, we remember a current assistant coach with Rimouski is Donald Dufresne, who played with the Montreal Canadiens and then was a coach of the St. John's Ice Caps. On Medicine Hat, there's only one player to watch there, and that's Gavin McKenna, who's probably the best player at the tournament, and he's not even draft eligible this year, not draft eligible until 2026. Canadians fans will probably be watching and maybe salivating over the Wildcats prospect, Caleb Denoyer, likely gone by the time it gets to the mid-teens. Well, not likely. For sure, he'll be gone in the upcoming draft. And I know there's been a lot of comments about what can Hughes put together with his two first-round picks. And maybe, well, not maybe, there would need to be some other elements to move up to grab Caleb Denoyer. But I know he's... you know, there's lots of teams that are looking for a center, the Flyers being one, and lots of teams at in the top five of the draft. So that's going to be a hard get for Hughes. But always a fun tournament. Started Friday night and goes through to Sunday, June 1st is the championship game.
Wonderful. The Laval Rocket, of course, still soldiering on in their Calder Cup playoff run. They are currently knee-deep in the North Division Final, which is a best-of-five series against the Rochester Americans. You'll remember that the first two games were in Rochester. We talked about them last week on the show, but just as a quick reminder, the two teams split those two games, Rochester winning one, Laval winning one. So then this week, the series shifted back to Place Belle in Laval. So game three took place on Wednesday night. And Laval wasn't messing around this time. Laval taking a 2-1 series lead in this best of five series with a 4-1 victory over the Rochester Americans. It was the first time in the series that there was one team that was, you know, clearly in control for the game, not as tight as the first two games. And so winning 4-1 in that one. Goals in that were by Luke Tuck, Florian Jacki, Laurent Dauphin, and Joshua Waugh. Caden Primo was in net that night, stopping 32 of 33 shots. Then, however, on Friday, that was an elimination game on Friday night for the Rochester Americans. It was a must win for them. And boy, they obviously did not like their performance on Wednesday night. It was not characteristic of what they wanted to be putting out there on the ice. And for some reason, Laval had not an answer for Devin Levi in net. Rochester winning 5-1 on Friday night. Joshua Waugh with the only goal for Laval. And Jacob Fowler was the one who started in net here. He was replaced after the second intermission with Caden Primo, who let in a goal as well. So this game got really, it started in the second period, and then the third period, it just devolved into a lot of frustration from the Laval Rocket. Rick, this turned into an ugly game penalty minute wise, and Rochester took full advantage on the power play. And in fact, their fifth goal was a shorthanded goal. So there was a lot of special teams things happening for Rochester, which wasn't helping with Laval in the box so much.
Yeah, special teams battle, two power play goals, one shorthanded goal from Rochester. And I think it wasn't after this game, is earlier in the series, that Pascal Vincent said, you know, I think my guys thought this was going to be easy. And Laval kind of cruised, you know, to the first place in the AHL. And Rochester is a good team. They had a lot of additions from the big club at the end of the season. And Devin Levi has been very good. And that's not to say that the Laval Rocket goaltending has not been good. It has, both from Fowler and Primo. Fowler tagged for the loss in this game, but not to blame. It was simply, Pascal Vincent said, we had some good sequences, but our errors were too important at this time of year against a team like Rochester. Rochester, we took bad penalties, and we can't afford that. Bottom line, their best players were better than ours. So very pointed. And yeah, Laval's been getting away with taking a lot of penalties all season long. This game, 10-minute misconducts were being handed out to almost everybody. Kandada got one, Harvey Pinard, Tuck, Hovenmeyer, Joshua Waugh, Mayu, Davidson, Jacki, they all got 10-minute misconducts. And Chris G was there at Place Bell, and he put out a photo of the Laval bench near the end of the game. And when I reposted it, as I said, there was more staff on the Laval bench than there were players.
There was barely enough to ice an actual lineup for the last few shifts. It was pretty bad. In fact, this now means, okay, so then game five is all or nothing for, this is a best of five series. So the series is now tied 2-2. The two teams will reconvene for one last winner-take-all game on Sunday afternoon at Place Bell. And after Friday night's game, this is what Owen Beck had to say about the loss and what they've got ahead of them on Sunday.
You know, they come into our barn there and, you know, kind of play, you know, put on that kind of performance against us and in front of our fans. So, you know, we're both in the same position now, backs against the wall. It's, you know, one game, winner takes all. So, you know, we got to come back and we got to remember tonight and use that to fuel us for Sunday.
Yeah, very sober Owen Beck, and as the team was. I think they're a little bit shell-shocked, and they know that, you know, they've got an opponent on the other side that that sees the series the same way they do, and they have to give it all, and in their home barn they have home ice advantage to move on in the series.
The winner of this series will meet the Charlotte Checkers in the Eastern Conference Final. That is the Florida Panthers AHL affiliate. Charlotte coming off. Charlotte is going to be very well rested for that Eastern Conference Final because they just swept the back-to-back defending Calder Cup champions, Hershey Bears, in the Atlantic Division Final series, sweeping them 3-0. So Charlotte will be a formidable opponent for whichever one of these two teams advances to take them on. The Laval Rocket also had some other news this week. They have signed Laurent Dauphin to a 2-year one-way AHL contract extension. That's going to run through the end of the 2026-27 season. Dauphin has fit right back into things in his second stint with the Laval Rocket, coming back to the franchise, seems to be, now that he's there on AHL contracts, he seems to have embraced a bit of that veteran role, knowing that he's not trying to play for an NHL contract. He's there to be a leader, to provide offense, to be a good veteran on the team. And so good to see that he's still okay with playing that role, as he'll now have a 2-year extension to do that.
Yeah, I really accepted his role. He's embraced this unselfish approach. Mm-hmm. And, it's Sean Farrell, when matched up with Laurent Dauphin, got on track this season and has had a terrific season. We always say they need the right veterans around, and I think Dauphin is probably one of those right veterans. I don't know that I can say the same about Alex Barré-Boulet, who may have greater aspirations yet. Mm-hmm. And may not be one of those guys that you want back. We'll see what the Canadians and the Laval Rocket think about that.
So if you think that, as Owen Beck says, that Laval's backs are against the wall, tied 2-2 in their series with a must-win next game, the Kelly Cup playoffs are continuing in the ECHL as well. The Trois-Rivières Lions, not quite yet backs against a wall, but they are in a 2-2 series tie in the Eastern Conference Final. They are playing against the Florida Everblades, the ECHL affiliate of the St. Louis Blues. And Rick, Trois-Rivières had a command on this series right off the hop, winning the first two games in the series. But now the Lions have turned around. Everblades have turned around and won the second two games of the series.
Odd series in that Trois-Rivières went down to Fort Myers, Florida, and won the first two games on the road. They come back to Quebec and Trois-Rivières, and Florida wins two games in the Lions' barn. So on game five is at home for Trois-Rivières, and then this is a best of seven series, so they'll head back to Fort Myers for the final two games if required. Problem here, and uncharacteristically so, I think, is the Lions have had trouble scoring. They have just 5 goals in the 4 games of the series, so maybe they should consider themselves fortunate that they're actually even in the series, mm-hmm. Scoring just over a goal a game. They're going to have to turn that up if they want to take this series.
They will. Stick tap to our friend and colleague Chris G here at Rocket Sports, who will keep you constantly informed of everything going on with the Laval Rocket and the Trois-Rivières Lions in their respective playoff runs. Be sure to go head over to our new home for written content at hockeyhotstove.com. Tap on the Canadiens logo and you'll always be sure to get a great written summary from Chris G each and every week, detailing everything that's going on with those two teams. Moving from Habs prospects to the NHL in general, the conference finals continue in the Stanley Cup playoffs. In the Eastern Conference, it's Florida against Carolina. And so far, the Panthers have had a pretty handy time of things, leading the series 2-0. Carolina, I do believe they play later today, and it does seem that Carolina Brod Rednamore is going to be replacing Freddie Anderson in net with Peter Kochkev. Yeah, so looks like making a goaltender change to see if he can shake things up.
Yeah, well, it was the Panthers going into Raleigh and stealing both of those games on the road, and now are heading back home with a good lead. And you know, Florida has only gotten stronger in these playoffs and are playing a playoff style game. And I think back to the regular season, and it hardly seems possible now that the Canadians won all their contests against the Panthers.
Yeah.
And I remember that last game, and it was the Montreal reporters who scampered over to the visiting locker room. They were really intrigued with what Paul Maurice was going to say. I think it was Francois Gagnon that said, "Are you mad? You must be so mad about losing to the Canadians all season." And Paul Maurice was just like, "Well, I'm not mad. We want to be involved in tight games, and you know, they were tight games with the Canadians. We want to be involved in tight games all season long because we're preparing for the playoffs." I thought it was a great answer, as Paul Maurice usually gives, and a big disappointment for you know, those reporters that are looking for some sort of fireworks. They did not get it.
Speaking of fireworks, the Western Conference Final is shaping up to be kind of must-see TV. Dallas versus Edmonton. That series is now tied 1-1, and it's already got some controversy. We've got some player injuries. We've got people calling for some DOPS, Department of Player Safety reviews on some things. It's going to be an intense series between Dallas and Edmonton.
Coaches bickering back and forth, and as you said, finger pointing. Edmonton, they're getting goaltending.
They are.
Believe it or not. And our predictions, I think we both had Dallas in the Cup Finals, though still possible. Our preseason predictions, we should say, that we talked about last week's podcast. We both had Dallas, and still a possibility there.
Still a possibility. The New York Islanders have named their replacement for Lou Lamoriello. It is not Marc Bergevin. We talked about that last week, that Bergevin might have been in the mix here, but no, it is going with Matthew Darche as the new general manager of the New York Islanders.
Matthew Darche, the former Canadiens kind of utility player, smart guy, was interviewed for the Canadiens general managing positions as well. He's had interviews elsewhere. He's apprenticed under Julien Brisebois in Tampa Bay. A couple of teams tapped former Tampa Bay talent, and the Islanders were one of them.
The Toronto Maple Leafs parting ways with team president Brendan Shanahan. Announcing that they're not going to renew his contract. It's the first chip to fall, first domino to fall.
Leafs Nation was not happy this week. And Canadians fans, I think, were just looking on with interest in their popcorn. And half of them headed to Steve Dangle's stream and for the end of that game to see them ousted in Game 7. And you knew there was going to be
fallout.
The same team was not going to be returning. The coach stays, GM stays for now, but not the president. Brendan Shanahan is out. The MLSC chairman, CEO, Keith Pelly, said they're not going to replace Brendan Shanahan for now. Also, they gave permission to the New York Islanders. We just talked about Matthew Darche. They gave New York Islanders permission to speak with Brendan Shanahan about a front office position. According to Pierre LeBrun, there were talks, but as LeBrun tweeted, there's not a fit at this time. And general manager is only part of the role for Matthew Darche. It's executive vice president, I think, of hockey operations. Mm-hmm. So they have chosen at this time not to put Shanahan above Matthew Darche in the Islanders hierarchy.
Very, very interesting. The NHL coaching carousel has one less seat that it needs to fill. The Chicago Blackhawks have named their new head coach. Who is it, Rick?
It is Jeff Blaisdell. I said that it was tapping former Tampa Bay talent, assistant coach from the Tampa Bay Lightning, Jeff Blaisdell. Of course, he has head coaching experience with Detroit. Now named head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks. He'll have an opportunity to work with their young talent.
Finally, in this segment, the NHL has announced the finalists for this year's Jim Gregory General Manager of the Year Award. The three finalists are Kevin Cheveldayoff of the Winnipeg Jets, Jim Nill of the Dallas Stars, and Bill Zito of the Florida Panthers. And I don't think anyone would be surprised by any of those three as being the finalists.
They're all tremendous. They're all tremendous. And, you know, the general manager position matters. The coaching position matters. And you look at the franchises with the best general managers and the best coaches. And I would say Jim Nill and Pete DeBoer in Dallas, two of the best mm-hmm. in their areas. Paul Maurice, Bill Zito in Florida, two of the best in their respective positions. And unfortunately, and it still hits me that the Canadians could have had Jim Nill. The Canadians could have had Jim Nill, but the language situation, they forced him to bow out gracefully out of that selection process. And so instead, he's been in Dallas now for 12 years thereabouts, and you see the powerhouse that he's built there. And instead, the Canadians spun their wheels for a number of years with Mark Bergevin, and they're now trying to get back on track with Kent Hughes.
They're trying. And they're moving along. So we'll
They are.
And hopefully we can be talking about Kent Hughes in the same kind of regard in a few years. All right, we are going to take our first break here on the show. We are going to hear a quick message from our sponsors over at DraftKings. When we come back, the mailbag is getting opened. We heard your questions about Kirby Dach, Patrick Laine, and goaltending for the Montreal Canadiens, just to name a few. We're going to get into the answers to those questions and much more right after this. So don't go anywhere. You are listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Ready to win some real cash during the basketball playoffs? Check out Pick 6 from DraftKings. When it comes to basketball payouts, DraftKings Pick 6 posterizes the competition, including prize picks. Hit all your picks and score higher minimum payouts on Pick 6, plus even more cash if you outscore the competition. Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and more. New players get $50 in Pick 6 credits instantly on just a $5 entry. So download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Better payouts, bigger wins, only with Pick 6 from DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter or X, you can do so. Just look for my handle at Flyers Rule. Be sure you're also following my co-host, president and founder of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens, on Twitter as well. You can follow him at Rocket Sports. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We're on all of the big popular podcast platforms. If you choose instead to watch on YouTube or also just want to follow our YouTube channel for the other content we put out there on occasion as well, then be sure to do that. You can head over to InsideTheCanadians.com. That takes you right to our YouTube page where you can hit subscribe there as well. We definitely want to hear from all of you. And we have heard from many of you over the last number of weeks. We've been saying we wanted to do a mailbag episode coming up soon, and you heeded the call. And we've been getting questions here and there. Rick's been compiling them, and that's what we've got for you today. You know, we've got a lot of comments and questions focused on whether or not the Canadians are going to make a big summertime acquisition this year. But there's also listeners and viewers who wanted to know about guys like Kirby Dach, Patrick Laine, toughness on the Canadians team, since that was something that Jeff Gorton talked about in his end of season press conference, and also the situation with the Canadians goaltending right now. So we've got a lot to get into, some really great questions and comments. Don't forget, if you have questions that you'd like to ask us, that you'd like to hear our thoughts on for an upcoming mailbag episode, send them to us on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET, or drop us a comment on YouTube. Hit us up on social media at Habs Connection. And I should just make a note, sometimes your questions graciously are in the midst of a long comment as well, which we certainly encourage and appreciate you doing. So it just means that sometimes some of your questions might be lightly edited here on the show just for clarity, just to make them nice and concise. Just making a note of that. So first up, we have Jerome in Verdun, Quebec, who says, I've heard the talk that Sidney Crosby might prefer to play for the Avs, the Panthers, or the Kings. But if I'm Kyle Dubas, I'm dealing with the Habs because we can put together the best package in return. So it's not really a question, but I think this is something, Rick, that he kind of wants our opinion on this.
Yeah, exactly. Let me agree first with Jerome in saying the Habs, out of the teams mentioned, could the Habs put together a very attractive package that would interest the Pittsburgh Penguins? Yeah, I think I can fully endorse that.
Yeah.
However, with all due respect to General Manager Dubas, it's not up to him. It's not up. Seriously, this is not up to him. This is up to Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
And he will go where he wants to go. And we've heard, first and foremost, and he hasn't said anything to change this, he wants to stay in Pittsburgh. He wants to retire as a Penguin. He wants to spend his entire career with one team. So let's leave it at that for the moment. And if he could be enticed to go elsewhere, yes, there's the sentimental factor that we've talked about before. You know, with the growing up a Canadiens fan and the Canadians, PJs, and all that sort of thing. We talked about it a lot in last week's episode. Go to CanadiansConnection.fm to hear the full discussion. If he's a sentimental guy, maybe there's some attraction to the Montreal Canadiens, but an opportunity, you'd think, if he's going to go against everything he said and leave the team, the only team he's ever played for, in the NHL, that he'd be out for a Stanley Cup. And right now, next season, the Canadians don't have the best chance even with Sidney Crosby, they don't have the best chance of winning the Stanley Cup. So good question or invitation to comment on your comment there, Jerome. But this isn't up to Kyle Dubas.
It's not, and I think, as you said, I think in a perfect world, Sidney Crosby would have enjoyed the opportunity to play for the Montreal Canadiens at some point in his career. But at this stage in his career, I truly do believe that he means it when he says that he wants to be a Penguin for life, that he wants to retire with Pittsburgh. And in the remote chance that he does actually agree to be traded, it's only going to be, I agree with you here, that it's only going to be to go to a place where he has a legitimate chance at winning the Stanley Cup. What I do think is fun is just the excitement that it's generated, the speculation and the hope of could there be somebody like Sidney Crosby coming to Montreal. And yes, I do agree, Jerome and Rick, that the Habs could put a great package together. I'm just not sure it's in the cards this year.
Just before we get to the next.
Yeah.
I see Switzerland has advanced to the final. Will be meeting the U.S. in the 2025 IIHF World Championship gold medal game. They have dispatched Denmark.
Let's go, Team USA. All right. Next up, we have Brian from the 514.
Area code, yeah. Montreal area.
That's right. He says, if Hughes doesn't get a legit 2C this summer, does Doc get another chance? Newhook? Evans? Beck? It's a good run of names there that could be possibilities if he doesn't go out and get a 2C in free agency or via trade. Let's start with the first part of that question. Does Doc get another chance?
Well, I'm just going to answer yes to everything here.
Well, yeah.
Yes to Doc, yes to Newhook, yes to Evans, yes to Beck, yes to Kapanen, yes. Yeah. I think that Kirby Doc is going to be given another opportunity. And we look to that media availability at the end of the season where Kent Hughes said, quote, I still believe in Kirby. He has so much potential as a player. They still believe that there's an opportunity for him to be the player they think he could be when they traded for him. And seeing Frank Naser was named one of the top three players for the U.S. at the World Championships, and of course, that's who the Blackhawks picked with the Canadiens pick from the Kirby Doc trade. Maybe that was not the right way to go. But anyway, Kirby Doc, we heard Jeff Gorton say, quote, there's certainly a place for him in our lineup. It's going to be up to him where that's going to be. He has size. He's competitive. He's got skill. He's very talented. He's going to need a big camp to get himself going and get started early. So he needs to prove from day one in camp. He needs to prove that he's ready. There was some talk that he wasn't ready. He didn't show up in shape. He didn't show up ready to compete and took the first half of the season just to kind of get himself back in playing condition this past season. He's not going to have that opportunity. They're not going to have that patience with him this upcoming season. He's going to need a big camp. He's going to need to get started early, says Jeff Gorton. And then if that's not the case, then all bets are off. And I think then it's an audition. Mm-hmm. You know, Alex Newhook, he's going to have a tough time on faceoffs. Hopefully he's worked on that over the off season. But maybe it's Newhook, Doc, and Demidov. Not a bad second line if Doc can get going. You saw that Jake Evans was moved up at times, and even in the playoffs, Jake Evans was moved up. Does Owen Beck get an opportunity? I think that's probably, he's being groomed to enter the NHL on the wing. Kapanen was relied on and moved up and down the lineup at the end of the season when he came back from the SHL. So all of those players are a possibility. I think there's a very short leash with respect to Kirby Dach.
I think there is too, and I'm not super optimistic that he's going to be able to make that case for himself. I'd be happy if he proved me wrong. I really would be happy if he proved me wrong. I would like to see Dach actually realize the potential that could have, should have been. I'm just not there as far as confidence that it's actually going to happen, but we'll just have to wait to see. Great question from Brian from Montreal. Glenn from Markdale, Ontario has a question. He says, it's a simple question. How can Caden Primo look so good in the AHL and so bad in the NHL? Glenn, we have been going over this question for years. And I think Rick will chime in here with his own response momentarily, but I think I can speak for both of us when I say that I would be very happy if, for now, for the foreseeable future, they just leave Caden Primo alone in the AHL, because it really does seem to be where he is more comfortable, where he is more successful, where he can handle the pressure, where he can excel, where he can dominate at times. And I think that's better for him overall as a person, as an athlete, as a member of the Canadiens organization, if he can be bolstered with the kind of confidence that he gets in the AHL. I think the NHL game is just too fast for him to process as a goaltender. That's just my opinion. I think, because you ask, why can he look so good in the AHL and not in the NHL? The NHL and the AHL are two very different kinds of games. And Caden Primo seems to be more of a goaltender built for the AHL than he is for the NHL. That could still change someday, but right now I'm happy that they're letting him thrive a bit in Laval.
Speed is the answer. One of the answers, one of the components. And you don't trust us, well then listen to Marty Biron, who knows a little bit and knows a lot about goaltending. And if you go back all the way, you said we've been talking about this for a while. We have. If you go all the way back to Canadians Connection episode 253,
almost 100 episodes ago,
where we had Marty Biron on the show. And one of the things we asked him to do was to break down the technique of Caden Primo and his ability to transition his ability or not to transition his goaltending technique from the AHL to the NHL. And Marty Biron said it's all about speed, that Caden Primo just doesn't have the speed. We can understand that when it comes to a forward. It's harder for us to understand that when it comes, that it can be a factor when it comes to goaltending. But it is. So there's three things in my mind. As Marty said, speed. Second thing is confidence. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is coaching. We talked about it throughout the season. Marty St. Louis has some very good qualities and has been able to learn and adapt. And some of the things techniques and skills and the way he wanted to play when he transitioned from coaching 12-year-olds, and he was trying to use the same sort of structure with NHLers, didn't work. And Marty's had to change a lot. He hasn't yet learned how to manage NHL goaltenders. That was painfully clear this past season, mm-hmm. whether it was the backup situation for Caden Primo or Jakub Dobish. Marty doesn't know how to do it yet. And he's got to rely on his goaltending coach, or if the goaltending coach isn't spelling that out, the Canadians need a new goaltending coach. Because, you know, you can't, as Caden Primo did, you can't sit on the bench for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and then be tossed in and say, you got to perform here or we're setting you down. That's just not fair. You wouldn't do it with a forward. You can't do it, especially with a goaltender. And he's got to think about, and maybe as other coaches do, kind of plan out a tentative schedule to get a regular rotation going for his, it's not just for the backup goaltender. It's also for your starter, that being Montembeault, we expect next season. As far as Caden Primo specifically, he's probably going to, you said, better off being in the AHL, but will that be with the Laval Rocket? That, I don't know. The question is, Dobish and Primo are both RFAs at the end of the season. Will Primo be qualified? I don't know the answer to that. There's reasons on both sides why he may or he may not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Canadians may just say, listen, Jacob Fowler is our starter in, we have Montembeault and Dobish at the NHL level. Jacob Fowler is our starter in Laval. And we're going to trust Vincent Riondo, who is the goalie guru, to go out and find us a backup, a veteran backup who can support Montembeault at the NHL level. That may be their plan. We're going to find that out in the next few weeks.
Well, definitely. Very good question. And we'll see how that all shakes out. Stuart wrote in from Dauphin, Manitoba. Says, might sound crazy, but hear me out. Patrick Laine has struggled to produce at 5-on-5. So why not replace Caulfield with him on the top line to give him a spark? That would leave Caulfield, Demidov, and Doc or a new 2C on the second line. That's an interesting... I mean, that...
How did he start this?
He says, might sound crazy.
Okay. no, I appreciate... thinking outside the box, yeah. Stuart, I appreciate that. Dauphin is northwest of Winnipeg. Canadians fans are everywhere. Lots of our commenters are trying to figure out a way of keeping Patrick Laine on the roster, keeping him interested, and having him hang around for his ability to excel on the power play. Mm-hmm. I understand. I think Patrick Laine. I think you're going to drag down that first line, and I think you're going to get some pushback from Suzuki and Caulfield if you split them up permanently. Mm-hmm. I don't see Patrick Laine. He's not going to be defensively responsible. He's not going to push up the ice. He's not going to be able to skate with those guys. The Canadians need their first line because of a lack of a second line.
It's the only line that they really have.
And it's a good line. It can be a dominant line at time. I don't think you put an anchor on that first line. And that's unfortunately what Patrick Laine has turned out to be. I think, you know, he's going to have to get used to fewer minutes. He's going to have to get used to playing on a third or fourth line. And then a second power play. That power play that the Canadians finished with against Washington in the playoffs is who they... I don't think there's any question about that. Those five players are who they start with at the start of the season, and that didn't include Patrick Laine. And that's okay. Patrick Laine served a purpose and helped get the Canadians, as Hughes said, to the playoffs this past season. But it doesn't always have to be there. He can be an impact player on a second power play for Montreal, the shooter on a second power play, and playing with fewer minutes on a bottom six in a bottom six role.
I agree. We now have a question/comment from our good friend Dino in Ottawa, Ontario. He says, "We need to match up to the Capitals' physical play. Didn't get it done with the current lineup. I feel bad for Pezzetta. He helped the Canadiens get to the playoffs. Year after year, he puts on the sweater with honor and pride and delivers. The teammates value him. He's a true team player. It burns me to see him overlooked. He represents the intangibles. Should not be underestimated. Same for Jack Eye as well. Gotta play our big boys. And yes, they do know hockey." His question that he gets to now is, "Will Pezzetta re-sign? We need him and more like him. Leadership, grit, a real competitor, and unselfish play. A team-first guy." Great question and comment. And I think the thing that I like the most about this is Dino saying he represents the intangibles and then lists them, because those intangibles are very important. Leadership, grit, a real competitor, unselfish play, team first guy. Will Pezzetta re-sign? I'm going to say that the Canadians are probably, he might want to, maybe. He didn't play much this year. He might want to, but I don't know that the Canadians are going to make space for him again next year.
No, he won't resign. And I know that Dino likes Michael Pezzetta, but let's think about this more broadly. When Dino says we need more like him, players with grit, that have compete, that show leadership, that are team first players, I think Jeff Gorton would agree with all of those attributes, and he said so. Mm-hmm. They need players who are going to play. Play more physically, and be competitive, and you heard both Hughes and Gorton say, you know what, we have some of those players, and they're going to have to play more like that. And the inference was obviously Juraj Slafkovský, that he's going to have to figure out how to be an impact, how to be an impact player, to show his skill while playing physically, because that he didn't do so on a consistent basis. Canadians also, you look at the teams who are being successful and they have physical play on the back end. They are big, they are punishing, and currently the Canadians don't have you're not going to ask Lane Hutson. Lane Hutson's always going to be in the lineup, but you're not going to ask that from him. Arber Xhekaj can deliver that, but he is suspect at other things and not always in the lineup. The only player who delivers on a consistent basis and who's in the lineup every single night is Caden Gooley. And he plays with an edge, and, Matheson doesn't, Carrier doesn't. Struble has got size but just doesn't play a physical brand of hockey. So they're going to need players on the back end. Now, do they have to go rushing out and find a second pairing defenseman who can do that? I'm not so sure. There are players on the way. And it's not just about a one-dimensional player, like a Jack Eye, like a David Savard, who, were stationary in their own zone. You can be physical and you can be a puck mover. You can have size. You look at the Seth Jones and how he's helping Florida, and what an acquisition that was. The Canadians have a Logan Mailloux, who's a rugged puck moving defenseman who's got an incredible shot, both wrist shot, slap shot, big shot, and can give you a number of things, and it plays with an edge and can stand up for teammates. David Reinbacher plays a physical game, not so much so, he doesn't play so much on the edge, But he can add to that physicality on the back end. So I think the Canadians have to look internally first with players who can give more, like Slavkovsky, and with players who can be transitioned from the AHL and brought into their lineup over the next season.
Absolutely. I got to agree with you there. Luke Tuck would be one if he progresses enough to make the jump to the NHL. He's got a little bit of an edge to his game.
Florian
as well.
Jacky.
And Florian Jacky
is another one. Yeah. Absolutely.
These were some really great questions that we had this time around for the mailbag. Really thoughtful comments and good questions. Keep them coming. Send us your question for the next mailbag episode on our Rocket Sports text line. Again, that's 5853-ROCKET. We definitely want to hear from you. Or if you're on YouTube, drop a comment in the YouTube comments and we'll make a note of it for the next mailbag. But now let's turn the tables to you. Let's ask you a question that we want to hear your answer to. What's your take on Kirby Doc? We're going to pinpoint the Kirby Doc question, ask you, what is your take on Kirby Doc? Is he capable of reaching his potential finally? Or do the Habs need to look at other options for a top six forward? Curious what you all think, listening and watching out there. Let us know. 5853-ROCKET. Drop us an email, hello@rocketsportsmedia.com. Drop a comment on YouTube, and we'll pick out the best responses and read them on next week's show. Speaking of that, we've got some great answers to last week's question of the week that we're going to read in just a moment. But first, we're going to take our last break on the show to hear from our sponsors over at DraftKings. So don't go anywhere. Be sure you come back. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Ready to win some real cash during the basketball playoffs? Check out Pick 6 from DraftKings. When it comes to basketball payouts, DraftKings Pick 6 posterizes the competition, including prize picks. Hit all your picks and score higher minimum payouts on Pick 6, plus even more cash if you outscore the competition. Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and more. New players get $50 in Pick 6 credits instantly on just a $5 entry. So download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Better payouts, bigger wins, only with Pick 6 from DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to episode 349 of the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Hey, don't forget, follow us at Habs Connection on social media. That's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Don't forget to subscribe to the show if you haven't done so already. Drop us a comment. And hey, if you're feeling generous, the best way you can always help us out is by sharing this episode. Whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on a podcast platform, just tap the share button, share this episode with your social media followers. It really goes a long way to helping us grow our community here at Canadians Connection. Don't forget as well, if you have missed our announcement, our exciting announcement that we have joined the brand new hockey website that has come out called hockeyhotstove.com, built with a terrific stable of professional hockey journalists from around the league. Each franchise of the NHL is covered, and we here at Rocket Sports are very honored to get to be the ones to provide the exclusive coverage of the Montreal Canadiens for hockeyhotstove.com. So just head over to hockeyhotstove.com, click on the Canadians logo, and you'll get all of our content, including this podcast. This podcast will also be featured there at hockeyhotstove.com. And if you really want a quick way to access that content, we've created a site that will redirect you right there to our page, which is HabsHotStove.com. So be sure to check that out. Don't forget to get in your answers to the Canadians Connection question of the week this week. We are asking you, what is your take on Kirby Doc? Is he capable of reaching his potential this year, or do the Habs need to look at other options for a top six forward? We want to hear your thoughts on that. We're going to read out the best answers on next week's show. But last week we asked, would you rather see the Habs A, sign a veteran in free agency, or B, promote a deserving young player from Laval? And the second part of it was, which Rocket prospect is most ready to make the jump? And we had a couple of great responses. Rick, why don't you take the first one?
On YouTube, this is coming from Moon Observer Gilles, 5730. And our Moon Observer says, why would Sidney want to be in Montreal? His friend McKinnon in Colorado would be his preferred choice. A lot of respect for Crosby at 38 soon. He's still a factor, powerhouse in scoring, but overpaying even the best players can set you back in your reconstruction plans. If at a reasonable price, he'd be a great asset for the Habs. Crosby is an ambassador of hockey. Habs need a good second centerman. But does it have to be Sidney Crosby? And I think that's... I think that's the real question. And I know there's a lot of focus on next season, and that Canadians made the playoffs this year, so they've got to get into the playoffs at minimum in terms of some fans, and they have to win a round and so on. I think, you know, I think you should prepare yourself, as Jeff Gorton said, that next year is going to be a tough season, that the Canadians may take a step back and other teams may take a step forward. And don't worry about it. You know, as Marty St. Louis always says, trust the process. Don't focus on the results. Mm-hmm. Well, if Marty is only focusing on making the playoffs next year, and so they've got to go out and absolutely sign somebody, I think that Hughes and Gorton should just repeat his words back. You know, trust the process. Don't chase a playoff spot, because that's where you're going to get in trouble with your rebuild. And Jill, Moon Observer Jill, says essentially that in his insightful comment.
Yeah, really great comment. We also had a great comment from @centerheist7948. He says, great show. I think Kapanen may crack the lineup from the forward group.
Mm-hmm.
So that's answering the portion of the question where we said which Rocket prospect is most ready to make the jump. He says, and after that, I think Florian Jacki and Tuck and Thorpe are close. Oh, remember that Thorpe guy?
Well, that line was in preseason, Jacki, Tuck, and Thorpe.
Yeah. But he says maybe one season after. Now, the defense group, I think Logan Mailloux may be more ready than Reinbacher, but it would be nice if they both graduated, for the right side is waiting for both of them. And then Engstrom may be a year away. He goes on to say, and if I were the Habs, I sign a young veteran second line center around the age of Suzuki. I think it's a must until Michael Hage is ready, which I think is 2 years away. And I wouldn't mind a large physical winger. He doesn't want much, does he?
Nice shopping list there.
He says, but I think they have to be precise to make sure the timing is right so the youngsters aren't blocked. Yes, that's a good point. He says, I'm glad for Sean Farrell, but we need to trade him and Raphael Harvey-Pinard. They are too small for the Habs to inject where we're already too small. I do think Farrell could fit on an NHL team that has lots of size to insulate him. And Harvey Pinard, if an NHL team is interested in the same thing, keep the great shows coming. Really great points. Interesting thoughts about Sean Farrell and Raphael Harvey-Pinard. You know, there was a problem for a good period of time where there were a lot of smaller forwards being brought onto the team, and yes, maybe we're finally seeing the organization steer away from that a little bit at this point. But great comment, and thanks again to Center Heist 7948.
I wonder what Center Heist thinks about a player like Anton Lundell, who is still in the playoffs, a young center, he's 23, I think, playing for the Florida Panthers. He's well down the depth chart there, given the talent in front of him. I don't know that Florida would let him go, but there's someone that fits his description.
Definitely. That would be interesting. To our U.S. listeners, myself included, happy Memorial Day this weekend. And with that being that it is Memorial Day in the U.S., just want to say thank you to all of our service men and women who have given the ultimate sacrifice and service to our countries. That is what Memorial Day is all about here in the States, recognizing those who have given their lives in defense of our country. So thank you very much to all of you, but wishing, hope everyone north of the border had a wonderful long weekend for Victoria Day last week, spent time with friends and family, and I hope those in the U.S. get to do the same thing this Memorial Day weekend. Our next podcast will be, you guessed it, next Saturday, May 31st. We're going to wrap up May the right way here on the Canadians Connection podcast. Get ready for the summer. It's promising to be a great show. We'll have lots of news to catch you up on and another juicy big topic to break down for you, so you don't want to miss it. We thank you, as always, for being here each and every week. We'll be here all throughout the off season. You can always look forward to hearing the latest about the Montreal Canadiens right here on the Canadiens Connection podcast. We'll see you next week. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.